The story of Chanukah occurred in the middle of towards the end of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. We don't know exactly how long the second Beis HaMikdash lasted. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Chagai, when Chagas Chai Malachi were involved in the supervising of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, so the people were upset because it was missing so much. How did it compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? And the Navi told them in Nevuah, that the glory of the second Beis HaMikdash will outshine that of the first Beis HaMikdash. In what way was it more glorious than the first Beis HaMikdash? Second Beis HaMikdash was full of machlokes, and they had tzedukim who didn't accept, didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, were running the show for many years. It was always machlokes, always tumult was going on. So the Gemara says, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, in what sense was the second Beis HaMikdash greater than the first Beis HaMikdash? So one opinion is that it was taller, and one opinion is that it lasted longer. According to the Gemara, according to the Tanakh, the first Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years. According to the Gemara's tradition is that the second Beis HaMikdash lasted 420 years. Because it lasted 10 years longer, that's why it's called problematic Gemara. That's why it's called Godliya Kvod HaBayis HaZeh. According to the Goyish history books, the second Beis HaMikdash lasted for much longer. Perhaps in the Gemara, you're missing over 150 years. Something like 165 years is missing. So the reason why, because the Gemara takes all the psukim and ksuvim, when it lists off all the names of the Persian kings, they say these are many names of the same person. And it's the same person, and he was only king for so many years. In the Goyish history books, these were different people. And one was a king after the other, after the other, after the other. So you have 165 years is missing in the Gemara. That's Machlekes, the Balamor and the Ravid, who learned Pecharusa, Balamor and the Ravid in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is working on these psukim in Ksuvim to work out all the details. Who were these kings? So the Balamor says, Balamor writes, we all know that the Gemara made a mistake, that in the Goyish history books, the Baisheni lasted much longer, and these different kings were different people. They're not different names for the same person. And the Ravid who learned the Chavrusa with the Balamor screams, Hapikeres, how can you say against the Gemara? The Gemara says that the Baisheni was only 420 years. Yeah. That's a Shaila. That's a Shaila.
What kind of Tanayim?
Before most of the Tanayim were after the Churban HaBayis.
Rabbi Kiva was
Rabbi Kiva was during, yeah. Rabbi Tarfon was Bizman HaBayis and after, right. But most of the Tanaim were after the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. Most of them were after the Churban HaBayis, yeah. So we know this story of Chanukah occurred, according to the Gemara, occurred 210 years before the Churban Baisheni. And the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, gives you the historical background of Chanukah. So, from the beginning of the Baisheni period till the days of the Hashmonaim, there was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The country was ruled by the Persian kings and by the Greek kings, by outsiders. And the whole building of the second Beis HaMikdash was a Hayruah Shoah, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the second Perek that there are three mitzvahs that you're supposed to fulfill in a specific order. The first mitzvah is Lahamid Lahem Melech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then Lahachrizar Shal Amalek, to wipe out all the enemies. And then when there's peace in Eretz Israel from the outside and the country is run by the Jewish government, then that Jewish government has to see to it that you build the Beis HaMikdash. Building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah that's mutelus on the Klal Israel, on the Tzibur. It's not like Tzitzis or Tefillin that it's a Chavis HaYochid. Being a Beis HaMikdash is a Chavis HaTzibur. So the way to fulfill the Chavis HaTzibur is you have the Sanhedrin Doyle involved and you have the Melech Israel involved. Beginning of the Baisheni, there was no Malchus Yisrael till the days of the Chashmonaim. So how in the world did they build? How did they build the second Beis HaMikdash in the first place?
Not really Malchus Yisrael either.
It wasn't the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes like that. Yankee Levine gives the brachas to all of the Shvatim, so he gives the bracha to Shevet Yehuda, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda Mechoykek Mbein Raglov Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh, that the Malchus should belong to Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash says that it was not right on the part of the Chashmonoim to seize the government. He says anybody other than Shevet Yehuda should not be the king, and especially the Kohanim. That's especially improper, Because we want to have a separation between the kuhuna and the Beis HaMikdash on the one hand, and the government on the other hand. We don't want that the government should be controlling the Beis HaMikdash. We want to have a separation. Like the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was split, half of Yerushalayim, well, Eretz Yisrael was divided among the various Shvatim. So Yerushalayim was the one city, the Gemara says, when Yeshua ben Nun divided Eretz Yisrael, and they drew the lines, Ein cholkim erachas l'shnei shvatim. You don't divide one city into two, half the city should go to one shevet, half the city should go to the other shevet. You draw the lines. If there's a city in the middle, so you go around it, either you go above it or you go below it. The one exception to the rule was Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim bedavke had to be a split city, a divided city. Half of it was in Shevet Yehuda, half of it was in Shevet Binyamin. And the entire Mizbeach had to be Bechalke Shel Binyamin. That's a tradition from Yankel Avinu and the brachas that Yankel Avinu gave him from Moshe Rabbeinu. They both said that the Mizbeach should be Bechalke Shel Binyamin. Right, the part where the area belonged to Shevet Yehuda, so they took off that part of the Mizbeach. So you didn't even have an inch of the Mizbeach on a chelik of Eretz Yisrael that belonged to Shevet Yehuda. So the Marsha, in his commentary on Gemara Zvachim in the Chidushi Agoda, the Marsha has tiny letters, that's Chidushi Agoda, and then the big letters, that's the Chidushi Halachim. So the Marsha and the Chidushi Agoda on the Gemara Zvachim suggests that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash should not be Bechelka Shel Yehuda, because Yehuda is supposed to be running the government, and we don't want the government to control the Beis HaMikdash. We want to have a separation in a certain sense between the government and the Beis HaMikdash and the religion. They shouldn't be the balabatim on the religion. So that's why the Ramban comments in Parshas Vayechi by Birchas Yankov that it wasn't right for Chashmonaim, they were Kohanim, they were from Shevet Levi. It wasn't right on their part to take over the government because the government is supposed to be Shevet Yehuda, and it was especially not right because they were Kohanim, and that was doubly not right. That the government should be the same Kohanim who are running the Beis HaMikdash, that's not right. Now, Soloveitchik pointed out that when you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, he doesn't seem to agree with this Ramban, because the Rambam writes that in the middle of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were tzaris from the Goyish, from the Yevonim, and they made gzeris against the Jewish religion, and they took their money, and they took their daughters, they defiled their daughters, and then the Chashmonoi made a rebellion, and they took over the government, and the Rambam rechens arayin in the Simcha of the Yontif, that the Chashmonoi established a malchus from Kohanim. That's a maila. According to the Ramban, that's a chisor, and they did something improper. They shouldn't have taken the malchus because they were not from Shevet Yehuda, and on top of that they were Kohanim. And the Rambam writes that that's a maila. When the Kohanim made a government, so then it was Gevaldik, and then they made a Yontif Avchan. So it seems that the Rambam does not agree with the Ramban. Why does he consider this such a Gevaldik? As that, Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe because they were Kohanim, so when they were running the government, the Kohanim were like the Rabbanim. The Kohanim were supposed to be the religious leaders of the Jewish people. So they had the Shas party was running the government, the Agudah. The Frumma party was running the government, that's Gevaldik. So the Rambam writes that was one of the milas, that when the Chashmonoim established the government, they were Kohanim and they were running a Frumma government. Yeah, why does the Rambam mention that? Why is the establishment of the government part of the Yontif? That's what we're rejoicing about, the establishment of the government. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Rambam is giving you the history of Chanukah that it should lead up to the Dinim. So one of the Dinim of Chanukah is that we recite Hallel, Sholem, on Chanukah. On Purim, the Gemara says we don't recite Hallel. On Chanukah we do. So the Gemara in Megillah raises the question, why is there a difference? Why don't we recite Hallel on Chanukah? So the Gemara gives one explanation, because when you recite Hallel, you say Hallel o Abdi Hashem, and the connotation is Abdi Hashem v'loy Abdi Paro. When Paro set the Jewish people free, he declared on Leil Makas Bukharis, he's setting the Jewish people free, they're no longer Avadim. So the Medrash says, Paro told them, now that you're free people, Hallel Avdi Hashem, Velei Avdi Paro, no longer slaves to me, no longer servants to me, now you should say, Hallel, praise HaKadosh Baruch. So the Gemara picks up on that, so the Gemara says, on Chanukah we can honestly say, Hallel Avdi Hashem, Velei, we're no longer Avadim to the Greek government. But on Purim, we didn't establish an independent Jewish government. Well, so Leitching suggested maybe the reason why the Rambam mentions Arangerechent one of the wonderful things, the reason why we celebrate Chanukah is because they straighten out the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Tzara Shav of all the holidays in Megillas Tainus. They all have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash for years was used for Avodah Zorah purposes. And the Mizbech was used for Avodah Zorah. Shiktsum Anshe Yovan, the Gemara says, they used the Mizbech for Avodah Zorah purposes, so they had to make a new Mizbech. The old Mizbech became possible because it was used for Avodah Zorah. And then the Gemara says that towards the end of the Bayi Sheni period, there was a special room on the side of the Azara where they put the old stones from the old Mizbeach, Sheshik Tzuman Sheyovan. You can't throw it out in the garbage because they used to be a Mizbeach. You can't continue to use it as a Mizbeach because it was used for the Azara. So they have a special, like a museum room, where they had the stones from the old Mizbeach. Then the Gemara said they had to make a new menorah also. So the Pashtus is that we celebrate Chanukah because something wonderful happened with respect to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the common denominator of all holidays in the Megillas Tainus. So why does the Rambam mention the fact that they established a Jewish government? So Rav Soloveitchik taught, because he's going to lead up to say that you recite Halal Shalom every day of Chanukah, and the Gemara gave this explanation. You only recite Halal Shalom on Chanukah if you can say Halal Avdei Hashem V'lai Avdei Parai. So on Purim, you don't say Halal because Hakata Yavdei Dachashverish Anan. But on Chanukah, not only were they successful in cleaning out the Beis HaMikdash, they established an independent Jewish government. We're no longer slaves, no longer subservient to the Goyish government. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Others suggest a different pshat, that the Rambam in Hilchas, the beginning of Hilchas Melochim, quotes the three mitzvahs that you have to fulfill in that specific order. First, you have to establish a Jewish government over Eretz Yisrael, then you have to wipe out Amalek. The Jewish government has to sponsor an army to wipe out Amalek, and then you have to build the Beis HaBchira, if it's possible in that order. So when they built the Bayi Sheni, there was no Jewish government. So the whole building in the Bayi Sheni was a Hayru Ashur. The Nevi'im, Chagas Chaim Malachi, told them, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the whole thing was a Hayru Ashur because it was done out of order. So then years later, centuries later, when the Hashmonaim established an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, this gave added chashivas to the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash is, it's not like a boma, bomas yochid, a private boma. Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be Shalat Tzibur, Shal Klal Yisrael. So Kol Zman, there's no Jewish government. How can you say the Beis HaMikdash is under the auspices of Klal Yisrael? There is no Jewish government. So when the Hashmonaim established an independent Jewish government, this gave a chashivas, it enhanced the significance of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was now under the auspices of the Jewish government. Sure, it wasn't built by the Tzibur. There was no Tzibur, there was no Jewish government when it was built, but centuries later, when they established a Jewish government, this added chashivas and significance to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not being sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael.
Some say that's in Gdola.
Yeah. They were told b'nevuah. They were told by the three Nevi'im, Chagas HaMalacha, they should build the Beis HaMikdash. But it's really a quirk. It was a Hayru Ashur. That's what the Mefarshim say in the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch makes a statement. There is only an obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash when you have Rov Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Lashon HaGemara. Sholosh mitzvahs nitztava Yisrael b'chnisosim la'aretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill these three mitzvahs in this order, l'amel ha'melech, etc. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, you have to b'chnisosim la'aretz mean, when the Rav HaTzibur moves into Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Hashmonaim, you didn't have, in the days of the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, they didn't have it all, Rav Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. So they ask on the Sefer HaChinuch, so how did they build the Bayi Sheni? So the Mefarshim answered, the whole Bayi Sheni was a Hayru Ashur from day number one, because there was no Jewish government either. The whole thing was a Hayru Ashur. And then when the Hashmonaim established their government, so that enhanced the chashivas of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Beis HaMikdash is under Jewish auspices.
How does that fit with the concept that we learned previously some weeks ago, that the Tzibor is Eretz Yisrael? No matter how few there are, that's the Tzibor.
Right, that is called Klal Yisrael. And nonetheless, the Sefer HaChinuch says that sometimes you have a halachic need, Rav Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, like the Gemara says with respect to Yovel. that the pasuk says across him dra baris l'chol yoshveha, that when it comes shnas hayayvel, so the Eved Ibi goes free, even if he didn't work for 6 years. The Eved Ibi goes, whichever comes first, either sheish or yayvel, and whoever bought a field this day mikne, so it goes back to the rightful owner, to the original owner, reverts back to becomes the achuza. So the Gemara says that this concept of drawer, that the Eved Ibi goes free and the sodas chazes about leim yayvel, this is only krosim drawer bars l'chol yoshveho, means bisman shekol yoshveho aleho, when the rive of the world Jewish population is living in Eretz Yisrael. So true, the Rambam writes, if you have only a minion of Jews, the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, if you have 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, millions of Jews living all over the world, the 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they are the Klal Yisrael. But when you get to some mitzvahs, we insist that you have to have Rov Yoshveh HaLel, you have to have a significant Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael.
Would you also require that Kol Echad Matir is Shifto, like by Yovel? But this is a separate thing.
I don't know. It's unclear. I don't know. Yeah, we already, the second Beis HaMikdash is gone already so many years. We have survived without a Beis HaMikdash. We already forgot what it's like. But the Beis HaMikdash used to be the center of all religious activity. There were so many mitzvahs that revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. All the Hakrovas HaKarbonis and other mitzvahs also depend on the fact that you have Hakrovas HaKarbonis. The Rabbi Yishai complains that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Tzion Dorish Ein Lo. Nobody gives a hang about Beis HaMikdash. Nobody cares at all about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara points out, Mechlal, the inference of the words of the Navi is, Mechlal, the Bayad Risha. He's supposed to talk about the Beis HaMikdash. When you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you should strive to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You should talk about the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Gemara says, that the Tanoim made Takonis, the Rabbanan Zechel HaMikdash. Rabbi Chaimazake was the chief rabbi for 40 years, before and after the Churban Bayisheni. So the Gemara says several of the takanas that he made were Zechel HaMikdash. Adlokas HaMenorah is also, in a certain sense. Right, we recite Karbonas, right? That's in the Shalma form, so saying. So the Adlokas HaMenorah, the Pashtus in the Rambam is that they were Misakan Adlokas HaMenorah right away. When the Nes Chanukah occurred, 210 years before the Churban Bayisheni, the Misakan Adlokas HaMenorah right away. But after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the fact that we still continue to light the menorah has an added characteristic to it, that it's a Zechel HaMikdash. We reminisce about the fact that there used to be a Beis HaMikdash, and we used to light the menorah. Yeah.
Why is it Zechel? It's not even the same menorah. It's not a
Zechel. No, we make a Zechel to the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. It is a Zechel. The whole Yom Tov Chanukah is because of the nest that happened with the Pach HaShemet.
Can't make exactly the
same thing. Another time when you have a zecher, like the lulav or something like that, or other things like that, it's always the same thing.
Not exactly the same thing. Tosfos' opinion is that you need Shalachem all 7 days of Sukkot for the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash when it's been HaTorah. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, after the Churban, that it's only Zechel HaMikdash, you don't need Shalachem. You need Hodr. But you need that it should be Mehudah, but you don't need Shalachem. Other Rishonim hold you don't even need Hodah. Kol Shivi, you only need Hodah the first day, the first 2 days. Yeah, so here also they made a Zechel HaMikdash of, at the time, the Alpi Pashtas, the Takon of Hadlokas HaMenorah is made right away, when they made the Yontif. But after the Churban Bayisheni, then it had an added dimension to it, that it's also a Zechel HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara has
it. Does not mention the miracle of
inviting
Al
Anisim. Right.
They only mention the fighting and so forth.
Right. You see, in Al Anisim, both in Birchas Hamazon and in the Shemone Esrei, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moedim Anachton Locha, Noedim Locha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we thank him for the Teuva that he did to us. So the Teuva was that we were victorious in battle. And we're no longer Meshubah. They were taking our daughters, they were taking our money, they were harassing us.
Well, why don't we mention the Ness of Hanukkah?
That was a Ness for his purposes, for the Baruch Shalom's purposes. So we don't have to thank him that his Beis HaMikdash was straightened out.
So
that's what we say, V'dlik Neres B'chatzus Kodshecha, we were able to be madlik. But we're not going to say thank you for making a miracle. Okay. The miracle was the Tovas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wasn't the Tovas Seinu. But the Yontif was not instituted because of the victory in the battle. Every time the Jewish army is victorious, you don't make a Yontif. You only make a Yontif of the Baisheni Yamitavim. All had to do with the Beis Hamikdash. So because of the Ness of the Pach HaShemen, that's why they established the Yontif. The Gemara is bothered with the Kasha, how can the Yevonim use them as Beach for Avodah Zorah purposes? So it became puzzle. So they had a put away all the old stones. Avdim mizbech shikutzum, anshe yovan shikutz in Tanakh means avodah zarah. Shikutz hamishayim means that they put avodah zarah. They put psilim in the Beis Hamikdash. So shikutzum anshe yovan means the yavanim, means the misyavdim, the Jews who were acting like yavanim who rubbed the avodah zarah, used it for the purpose of avodah zarah. So they couldn't continue to use it lashamayim. So the Gemara avodah zarah is bothered with akasha. I don't know. Apparently, it's a separate psul. The Gemara says that mechuber is muta lehedyot, but the Gemara says it's posel agavoya. So, how did they know when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon? How did they know that this Har Maria wasn't used for Avodah Zarah purposes? So, the Gemara says they had a neviim. The neviim told them that they know for a fact that it wasn't used for Avodah Zarah.
But they can't make it. You can't take things of nature, a
grave
sister, a mountain, and worship it. It doesn't become a
Vayezor.
Right,
that's what he's asking. So the Gemara answers. No, so the Gemara answers. It doesn't become also Bahanoa the Hedyot, but it does become Posel Lagavoya to use it for Moos Lagavoya, right. So how did Shlomo HaMelech know that the Har Maria wasn't used for Vayezor purposes? So the Yishalmi answers, Alpi Navi. The Navi told him. The Nevi'im told them that this area was never worshipped for Avodah Zarah purposes. If it would have been worshipped, if the karka would have been worshipped for Avodah Zarah, they wouldn't be able to build the Beis HaMikdash there. But here they made the Mizbeach, and Anshe Yovan used it for Avodah Zarah purposes. So Gemara is bothered with a different question. These people who used the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes, it didn't belong to them. So what are they, Balabatim? How can they come in? I come into your home and I bow down to your furniture, so the furniture becomes asaba. No, we're going to use it for Avodah Zarah purposes. What happened to the din? So the Gemara says, you're right. The din should have been that it should not become posel lagavoya, not because b'chuba, but rather because ein amosu davashen shaloi. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Yecheskel Anovi was at the time right before the churban by sheni and into the Golus bubble. He went. He had nevuah in bubble also. So he said, that when the pritzim come into the Beis HaMikdosh and they use it for Avodah Zarah purposes, so they defile it, and it's Yotze L'chulin. Once the Yotze L'chulin no longer belongs to Gavoya, so then it belongs to the one who defiled it. So then, since it's his, so he has the right to designate it. He's not allowed to, but he has the ability. He has the ability to designate it for Avodah Zarah purposes. So that's a famous machlokes in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Beis. Like machlokes is between Aben Ezrachi Halevi and the Ramban. The Baal Hamor, in his commentary on the bottom of the Rif, writes, he thinks a bo bo pritza mechiluhu refers to pritza Yisrael, because when someone is moel behegdish, when someone is nenem in a hegdish, the hegdish is yotze lechulin. That's part of the parsha of meila behegdish. Someone is nenem in a hegdish, he has to yotze lechulin and he has to pay karam bechaimish and bring asham meilas if he violated b'shege. Violated b'mezid, you don't pay Kerem B'chaymish and you don't bring Hashamilas. But if you violated b'shoigig, so you have these dinim. So these dinim only apply to the person who is nenem and a hegdish b'shoigig is Jewish. So then part of the din of me'ila is that it's yotze l'chulin. Ein me'ila l'shina v'shus. The Gemara says, mo'al amal b'ashem, ein me'ila l'shina v'shus means that it's yotze l'chulin no longer belongs to hegdish. So the Baal Hamor says, ubo bo pritza mechilalu goes on pritza Yisrael, not pritza Yakum. Not that the Beis HaMikdosh was used for Avodah Zarah purposes by the Yevonim. The Yevonim wouldn't be able to designate it as Avodah Zarah. It wouldn't be Yotze L'chulin, and it would be Ein Anamosu Dovah Sheinu Shaloi. But the Jewish Misyavnim, the Jewish people who worshipped Avodah Zarah, they were Moitziyat L'chulin, and therefore they were Koineit, they were Koineit the Mizbech, and that's why when they used the Mizbech a second time, the first time they used it L'Avodah Zarah, so they were Moitziyat L'chulin. The second time they used it for Avodah Zarah, then they're designating it L'Avodah Zarah, made it also, made it possible. The Ramban disagrees with the Baal Hamor. He says, what is he talking about? The Misyavdim violated Mila behegdish bemezid. Hegdish is yotze lechula in ayidei mila. If a Jew is moil b'shoiging, not if he's moil b'mezid. What has it got to do? The whole tzushtel is a pillar. So Ramban disagrees with Akatzel Akatzel. He thinks the Baal Ba Pritzi Mechilalu is a Xeris Akasuv. That the Novi Yecheskel says that's only Pritzi Yakum. It doesn't apply to Pritzi Yisrael. It has nothing to do with Me'ila Behegdish. It goes on Pritzi Yakum. The Chilalu says when the Goyim used the Beis HaMikdash but it's our purposes. So it's Yotze Lechon. Yotze Lechon. So then they had the, it belongs to them. Then they had the ability to designate it for Avodah Zarah. Then it became possible. Whatever it is, the Gemara says the Avnei Hamizbeach sheshiktzum Anshe Yavon, either Anshe Yavon means the Goyish Yavonim or the Jewish Misyavnim, when they designated it for what is our purposes, so they can no longer use that Mizbeach Lashemayim. So the Chashmonaim had to make a new Mizbeach, and then they had to make a new menorah. The Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't explain what happened to the old menorah. It doesn't say whether it's used for what is our purposes or it disappeared. Maybe the Goyim walked off with the menorah. So the Gemara said they had to make a new menorah. And the Gemara has a historical debate. There was an old tradition that the new menorah was made from wood, because they had to make a makeshift menorah. 1, 2, 3. They came into the Beis HaMikdash one day. They wanted to light a menorah right away. So to make a menorah from metal would take a long time. To make a menorah from wood, they banked together pieces of wood and they made a menorah. So there is a machlekes in the Gemara in Sukkah, in Gemara Menachos, whether clay shoreis. Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash, Klei Shoreis, may not be made from Klei Cheres. If it's earthenware, it's not acceptable. And it should really be made from metal. What if it's made from wood? It's not cheap, like Cheres, like earthenware, but it's not Bekovedik, like Mateches. So it's a Machlekes HaTanaim. How do you dash in the Psukim with respect to the menorah? From the menorah, you learn out to all the other Klei Shoreis. So one Tana says, Klei Shoreis Shaleitz, wooden Klei Shoreis are acceptable. But Haraya, he brings a historical proof, because when the Chashmonaim came in to the Beis HaMikdash and they had to make a new menorah, they made 1, 2, 3, they made a menorah shalates and they lit in it. So you see a menorah shalates is kosher. And the other Tanaim disagree, they say it's not true. The menorah was made from eights, it was a makeshift menorah, but then they coated it with metal. So it did have metal in it. If it wouldn't have had metal, it would have been possible. So that's a historical machloikis and a halachic machloikis, where the klishores made from wood are acceptable or not. And half the Tanoim brought the Hechoche from the menorah that was made by the Chashmonaim, because their tradition was, this was a few hundred years later. The Chashmonaim were 210 years before the Churban HaBayis, and these Tanoim were after the Churban HaBayis. So they're disagreeing what happened 300 years earlier.
Can you bring a proof from the Mishkan also? Because, for example, the two boxes, LaHashem, LaZazel, were made of wood. Or that's not considered a...
Probably not a klisharis. He didn't even need any box at all. You just have to have two garolas. You can have garolas without a box. You can have it a plastic bag also. Yeah. It doesn't have to be in anything. And klisharis, there's a machloikis
atanoi. Yeah. Does the menorah have to be miksha?
The halacha says if you made it from gold, then it has to be miksha, it has to be one piece, and there has to be a specific weight, and you have to have gvim kaftorim aprochim. But if you make it from other materials, if you make them from silver or copper or from any other material, then yeah, if all wood is good, then all of these details don't apply. If you made it from gold, then you have to have everything. Everything is ma'akev. If you didn't make it from gold, all of these things are not ma'akev. The Gemara, of course, tells the story that when the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, they found that all of the shemen was nitma. How was the shemen nitma? So that's a question. Was it Tumas Meis that there was a war going on and there were a lot of dead bodies laying around there? So everything became tamei. All of the containers that had shemen in them had been opened up. So everything had a Tumas Oil Ameis. Everything, there were Jewish dead bodies and there were non-Jewish dead bodies scattered all over the place. Everything was tamei Tumas Meis. Is that the pshat? Or perhaps it's not tamei Tumas Meis. Perhaps Maga Hazav. Who is Maga Hazav? We know that at a certain point in history, during the period of the Bais Sheni, late in the Bais Sheni period, Chashmonaim were 210 years before the Churban Bais Sheni. So Tosfos says it's unclear when this Gzeira Derabbanan, that's the Tosfos on the bottom of Chaf Aleph on the base. So the last Tosfos is not sure when did they make the Gzeira Derabbanan that Nochrim Ametami Kizav. The Gemara says that the Chachamim were very concerned that the Nochem shouldn't fool around with the Jewish children. They're going to get them involved in Mishkav Zohar. So how are they going to explain to the children that they shouldn't touch a Nochri? They shouldn't have any Shachzma. So they said, the Nochem Atome. What kind of Tome? The Minatara, the Nochri, doesn't have any Tumah while he's alive. When he dies, he's Tome Tumas Mace. The question, to what extent is it Tome Tumas Mace? So that's a Machloikas, whether he only has Tumas Mago Mas or even has Tumas Oho. But the Nochri, while he's alive, can't have any Tumah at all. Nishkan Nida, Nishkan Zava, he's not Mekabel Tumah from anybody else. So the Rabbanan, they made a Chumrah that we treat all of the Nochrim as if they're all Zav. So is it because, why did the Gemara say Timu Kol Hashmonim? All of the containers of Shemen were open and everything became Tumah. Which Tumah? Was it Tumas Meis or was it Tumas Maga Hazav? Because we treat all of the Nochrim as if they're a Zav. So Tosfos writes, they're not sure historically whether the Gzeira de Rabbanan, the Nochrim have a Tumah like a Zav, was that already introduced at that time, or was that Gzeira de Rabbanan introduced at a later time? So there's a famous question on the whole story of Chanukah. The Pnei Yeshua quotes the Kasha from the Chacham Tzvi. Why was it necessary for the whole miracle? Because all of the Shemen was Nitma. Don't we have a din that if you have a Korban Shizmanu Kavua, Korban Tzibur, usually 99% of the Korbanus Tzibur is Manam Kavua. And 85% of the Korbanus Ayochet are not Zmanam Kavua. So the Gemara has a lashon that a korban tzibur may be korev betuma, and a korban yochid may not. The Mishnah says in Temurah, in the second paragraph, doesn't really depend on korban yochid versus korban tzibur. It's a melitza. Korban tzibur means a korban shezmana kavua. There's 99% of the korban tzibur as manam kavua, and a korban yochid means if it's not zmana kavua, then it's not doicha tuma. Same thing with doicha shabbos. It depends if it's zmana kavua is doicha shabbos, not zmana kavua is not doicha shabbos. So the Chacham Tzvi was bothered with the kasha. You have to light the menorah every single day. So even if the shemen is tamei, hadlokas ha-menorah is like a korban shezmana kavua every day. So if you don't have shemen tohor, so the halacha says that korban tzibur is deichet tumah.
I had a question that works once the kli is already established as hekdesh. Afterwards, you can use it. But if the kli had never been made hekdesh the first time around, you can't use it.
So that's a teretz that some achrayim answer. That's a good teretz.
But my answer was, the one day they did have, that's the one they could have made
the teretz. So they did. So the first day they lit with Shemen Tohar. Yeah. Then the question, so why was there a need for a miracle the second day? They would have been permitted to use the Shemen Tomei, right? So this is a kasha that the Pnei Yeshua quotes. He quotes this kasha from the Chacham Tzvi. Why was there a need for the miracle at all? So the Prichodosh gives a teretz on the kasha. He says that the only thing that's mutter in a korban tzibur, you're allowed to be makar betumah, that's only tumas meis. But if it's tumas zav, then it's not mutter betzibur. That's a mishnah in Psochim. When you have a pesach habo betumah, when roiv hatzibur is tumim, when roiv hatzibur is tohor, and everybody brings korban pesach rishon, so the yechidim anitchem le pesach sheni. But if Reva Tzibur is Tami Tumas Meis, then the Tzibur brings the Pesach Habo Betumah, they bring Pesach Rishon Betumah. So the Mishnah says, when you have a Pesach Habo Betumah, only Tmei Meisim are permitted to eat. If someone is a Zava Zava, Yaletis, a Mitzorah, a Nida, Tumah Yotzal and Megufa, they're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. So the Prichodesh says, the Teretz to the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha is that... Like Tosfos raised the possibility, the Chachamim had already made the Gzeira that Akum, the Nochem, have a Tumah like a Zav, and since it has to do with a Tumah from a Zav, so that's not Mutter B'tzibur. The only thing that Mutter B'tzibur is Tomei Tumas Meis. So the Mefarshim, the later Mefarshim, ask on the Prichodesh, what is he talking about? The Shemen can't be a Zav. The Shemen was Tomei Maga HaZav. The Chachamim, according to this suggestion of Tosfos, the Chachamim had already made a gzera, treating all of the Nochem as if they have a tumah like a Zav. So if a Zav touches something, that's not... The Zav is a tumah yotzal and meguf. But as far as the Shemen is concerned, that's a tumah smago. So Tosfos writes in Zvachim, in a few places, in Chulin, in Zvachim, a lot of places, that when you have a korban that's zmanu kavua, and it's doicha tumah, it's doicha any tumah smago. So maga hazav is also mutter. So what did the Pichorish answer? That the reason why the Shemen was Tumah is not Tumas Meis. If it would have been Tumas Meis, it would have been Mutter B'Tumah. Carbon Tzibur is Mutter to be Makar B'Tumah. But because it's Tumas Azab, so Tumas Azab is not Mutter. It's not true. Maga Azab is Tumas Maga. It's not Tumah Yotza L'Migufah. That's what the Achrayim ask on the Pichodosh. So the Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltas writes that they all forgot the Rambam. The taina that they have against the Pichodosh is because that's what Taisus says. Bekama Mekaimus. Taisus says that all Tumas Maga is Mutter B'Tzibur. But a person who is a Zab Zav, your letters and Mitzara Nido, that person is not allowed to eat from a Pesach Abba Betuma. But Taisa says, if a Zav touches Shemen, a Zav touches the Dam, that's Tumas Maga, so that will be Mutta Betuma. That will be Mutta by Korban Tziba. The Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes only Tumas Meis. Maga HaZav is also not. Korban Tziba may not be brought in a state of Tumah if it's Maga HaZav. So the Netziv just points out that the teretz that the Pichodosh gave is based on the Rambam. He's assuming like the Rambam. But if you assume not like the Rambam, if you assume that, like Tosfos, that Maga Hazav is also Tumas Maga, it's not Tumah Yotzei L'Megufoy, so then you have this kaddish of the Chacham Tzvi. Why was there a need for the miracle at all? So some of the Achrayim give the teretz that you suggested, that the only time we say that a korban tzibur may be korev in a state of tumah, that's if it's not the first hadlokas ha-menorah. But the Gemara says when you make a new menorah, the Gemara says they had to make a new menorah, they had to make a new mizbeach. When you make a new menorah, the Gemara says kol ha-kelim shosa Moshe, in the days of the Mishkan where Moshe Rabbeinu made the kelim, so he had shemen mishchas kodesh and he did mishicha on each one of the kelim. The Gemara says learns that from the pasuk vayim shachem. So the Gemara learns that it didn't kol hakelim shasa Moshe mishichasa mikadshasam. When he did mishicha b'shemen amishcha, he gave it the full kedusha. Mikad v'yelach after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu avidosam mechanchasam. When you use the klisharis for the hakrabas hakarbanis, so it's boim kiechod. If it does not kedusha, you can't be makarba a carbon with it. So you makarba a carbon and it's boim kiechod. It endows it with kedusha and that makes the carbon kosher. Usually when you have a cause and an effect, so the cause has to precede the effect. And here it's an exception to the rule. We say, Boyin Kiechot, I declare, I do a hadlok on a menorah, so I was magdish the menorah that had Kedushas Peh, but it didn't have a Kedushas Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishcha. Only the Kedem Shosa Moshe was Meshichasa Mekad Shosa. And after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Avaidosa Mechan Chosam. You have to do the Avaida of hadlokas ha-menorah with it. So the hadlokas ha-menorah has to be done with a kosher menorah. But it wasn't a kosher menorah until you do the hadlokas. So it's a vicious cycle. So how do you start? So that's what the Rishonim have a lashon. It's boyin ke'echot. Avedos ha-mechan chosam. When you do the avoda of hadlokas, the first hadlokas, that endows the klisharis with the full kedusha. Until you do the hadlokas, it just has kedushas peh. And after you do the hadlokas, then it has the full kedusha. So that hadlokas, when you do the first hadlokas, it's mechan chosam, it's mechanechid. That's not zman kavua. The halacha zman kavua is if you have a mizbeach, that's a nischanech. It already had its chanukas hamizbeach. You have a menorah that already had a chanukah. Avidosa mechan chosam. So then every day you have to be madlik the menorah. So the hadlaka after you did the chinuch on the menorah, so every day there's a chiyuv to be madlik the menorah, to be makrib the karbonis. That those karbonis are called zman kavua. Korbish zman kavua is dechetumah. But the first avodah, the first hadlokah is mechanech the menorah. It doesn't have the full din menorah yet until you first mechanech it. So when are you mechuyev to be mechanech it? At the earliest available opportunity, but you can't say you're mechuyev to be madlik. How can you say mechuyev? It doesn't yet have the full status of a menorah. So that's the pashtus, what the teretz was. So some achrayim presented, you always have to start off, when you make a new menorah, you have to start off, everything should be al atzara yoyse toif. Where does it say that? It's a new concept. The Pashta says that that's not what the Zachrayim meant. They meant to say the original hadlokah after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishichasim Mikat Shosim, when you did Mishicha B'Shem and HaMishcha, gave the menorah the full Kedushas menorah, then even if the first hadlokah is going to be Betuma, it'll be Mutta. Because it's a korban tzibur shezman kavur, so it's dechetume. But after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Mishicha B'Shem and HaMishcha is no longer mechanechit, You have to have avodas and mechan chosim until you do the first avoda. It does not have a full din of a menorah. It doesn't have a full din menorah. So you can't say it's zmana kavod. You mechuyev to be madlik the menorah. No, there's a mitzvah to build the base of Migdash and a mitzvah to make all the kelim. When is the zman? When you have the first available opportunity, but you can't call that zman kavua. So the Pashta says that's the teretz. The first hadlaka of the menorah after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu is avedosa mechan chosam. So that's not called zman kavua. You have to be mechanechet whenever you have an opportunity to. But there's no loch you have to be mechanechet today. You can be mechanechet next week. Why do next week what you can do today? But you can't do that betumah, because betumah it's only derech betumah if it's zman kavua. It's not yet zman kavua.
But they had the first day, as we said, one day they did happen to her.
Right.
Once they did it.
So what was the need?
Once they did, so it's a real good clear rate for the future.
Right. So then now you have the kasha. If there was enough shemen for the first day, so they did avodas and mechan chosam mit tahara. So then, what did they need a miracle that it should burn for another 7 days miraculously? Right. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua has his famous teretz. He says, if you makriv the karbonis in a state of tumah, the kima mitzvah is incomplete. V'haraya, the Mishnah says that aside from karban pesach haba betumah is nechal betumah shemitchilos laba ela lachila. The whole purpose of the Korban Pesach that the people should eat it. But any other Korban, any of the Korban Tzibush as Mana Kavua, that you makrif in a state of Tumah, so you're not allowed to eat it. The Mishnah says, Mesach, you're not allowed to eat it. So you see that it's an incomplete Kiyama Mitzvah. So the Pnei Yeshua says, the Rabbanu Shalom made a miracle to show Chibosim Shal Yisrael that he wants to enable them to fulfill the mitzvah of Halakha Samanara, Al Atzara Yosef Tabishle Musa. So the Pnei Yeshua says, now he understands why you have such a strange phenomenon by Hadlaka Samanara. When they made the takana of Hadlaka Samanara, Zechel HaMikdash, so they made it with three levels. The Ikka Mitzvah is every family should light one menorah, then they made Mahadrin, then they made Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin. And when they made it, Melech HaTchila, there was already Bishamah and Bishilo, had two different schools of thought, how you should do the Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin. So we follow Bishilo all the time. So you light one candle the first night, two candles the second night. That's called Moshe V'Herlech. And Beishamai's opinion was he'd do the reverse. The first night you light eight candles, second night you light seven candles, and so on.
Like
suckers. Yeah, so why in the world did they make such a takonim belechatchila with Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin? You don't find the Bayana. There are Hidurim, all kinds of Hidurim, but to make lechatchila three different forms of Hadlaka Samanera, Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin, so that's what the Pnei Yeshua suggests, because the whole miracle was only that Bnei Yisrael should be mekayim the mitzvah. The first day maybe Taki needed Shemet Tohar, because for the purpose of Chanukah Samanari you can't use Shemet Tomei, because the Chanukah Samanari is not called Zman HaKavua. Called Zman, you don't have a full status of the menorah, you don't have a mitzvah to be madlik the menorah. But after they had enough light, enough oil to light the first night with Tahara, so why was there vayter a need for the miracle that the oil should continue burning for another 7 days with Tahara? The second night, you can already, it's already nischanach the menorah, so you can already light it with Shem and Tomei. So that's what Pnei Yeshua says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Chibosim Shal Yisrael, he enabled us to fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. Because when you bring the karbonis in a state of Tumah, it's Shalor Bishlei Musa.
If you held it was a Tumah Zav, then the whole need for the miracle was only because of the Xavier Rabbanim. So in the Torah, nothing was Tumah. So you have even more Chibosim Shal Yisrael.
That's right.
Also
the Bezer Shalmaila was maskim to the Takona de Rabbana. If you assume like that side in Taisus, that the Tumah was not Tumas Mesa, it was Tumas Abso. The Baruch Shalom went out of his head, he stood on his head in order to make a miracle, in order that they shouldn't violate the Din de Rabbana. Because Men HaTorah, there's no such thing. The Goy is not Metamik Yisav. Exactly. There's a tshuva in the Beis Yitzchak, Ab Yitzchak Shmelkish, lived in the 1850s. He was the Rav in Lemberg, one of the major poskim in the 1800s. So he's bothered with the kasha. Why was there a need for the miracle? There is a pasuk in Chumash that says that oichlim amekabel tumah. We say there are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Ode bekelim oichlim amashkim. So mashkim is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Mashka sheyishasa b'chol kli yitma. Mashka that's roi lachilo sodom. If you have mashka, that's only right. If you have oichlim amashkim, that's only right. Achilus hakelad, achilus behema, that's not mekabel tumah. You have hay. Hay is meichel behema, but it's not meichel odma, so that's not mekabel tumah. So the pasuk reads, chal mashka sheishase, B'chol kli, if you have mashka, that's right, l'shtiyah sodom, yitmot mekabel tumen. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. In the end of the first parak, I'm sochim. Chanina's got a koinim. How do you translate the words in the pasuk? So some tanaim say, yitma, it's mekabel tumen. Mashka, aroy l'achila sodom, is mekabel tumen, but to transmit tumen, that's already only midirabbanan. They can transmit tumah. Every time he transmit tumah, goes down a madrega. Starts off a meses of the avos hatumah. When we learned Saita, we discussed a little bit. Then when a person goes to the funeral, he becomes an av hatumah. He touches someone else, he becomes a rishon hatumah. He touches something else, becomes a sheni hatumah. Keeps on going down till chamishi betumah. By paradumah, you have chamishi. So the Gemara has three opinions in the Tanaim, how they translate the words in the pasuk. So one Tana is of the opinion, the mashke ma mekabel tuma, but it cannot transmit tuma lacherim. The din a mashke ma metamachem, that part is only midirabban. Next Tana disagrees, says no. Hamashke sheishasa b'chol kli yitma, we darshan, we don't read it, we don't pronounce it like that. We darshan the word yitma as if it means not only it is mekabel tuma. Yitameh, it can even be mitame others men atorah, and we don't paskin like that. We paskin chomashka sheishasa b'chol kli yitma doesn't mean that it's mekabel tuma. Tumas mashkim is legamre only midirabbanan, and yitma means that it's machsha ochlim lekabel tuma. If I have an apple that was never rinsed off after I plucked it off of the tree, kozman the apple is mechuba lekarka, it's not mekabel hechsher. If it rains on it, then I'm very happy that it's getting cleaned off because of the rain. All the apples got dirty, there was a dust storm, and all the apples are filthy with mud, and then it rains and it cleans everything off. It's nichalei, so the Gemara says it's not mekabel hechsher, while it's mechuba lekarka. If you rinse off the food after it's nitlash mena karka, then it's roi lekabel tumah. So the Gemara says that's how we paskal. Chomashke, ashei shose b'chol kli, if you have mashkim, any one of the zayin mashkim, yitma means it's machsher de oichlem lekabel tumah. But Tumas HaMashkim is only midirabbanan. So then the Mishnah quotes, Yosef ben Yo'ezer was from the Zugas. Yosef ben Yo'ezer was one of the Zugas in Pirkei Avos. So Yosef ben Yo'ezer, he testified, HaMashkim bei matbachai, Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdosh, Dochon, it's Tohor. Since the whole Kabbalah's Tumah of Mashkim is only a Chumre midirabbanan, so they didn't want to be Marbet Tumah in the Beis HaMikdosh. So they said, the Chumre midirabbanan, the Mashkim HaMakabal Tumah, doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Only Chutz le Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want to be Marbe to passel up more Karbonis to declare that everything became Tomei. So Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkesh asks in his Tshuva about Chanukah, what was the whole need for the Nes Chanukah? If the Shemen is not Mekabel Tumah at all. Shemen is Bechalam not Mekabel Tumah. Even the Rabbanan not Mekabel Tumah because it's in the Beis HaMikdash. There's Mashke Bei Mat Bachaya. Mashkem in the Beis HaMikdash next to the Mizbeach. Bei Mat Bachaya. It's not in the Kabbal Tumah Bechlal, even in the Rabbanu. So why did the Rabbanu Shlomo make a miracle? So he answers, Zenachinami, if the story of Chanukah would have occurred 100 years later, Yosef ben Yezer's Psak was accepted at that time. But the Nes Chanukah occurred 100 years before, and the Psak HaMekubal in that generation was that the Mashkim are Kabbal Tumah, either in the Torah or in the Rabbanu. So the Rabbanu Shlomo made a miracle because Eile v'Eile Dibre L'Kim Chaim. In a generation where the Rabbanim and Paskin that the Mashkim are Mekabel Tumah, so that's the din, it's Mekabel Tumah. If he would have lived, if the story of Chanukah would have occurred 100 years later, the Psak HaMekubal was the Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash, and not Mekabel Tumah, there wouldn't have been any need for any miracle. That's what we say, Eile v'Eile, Divrei L'Kim Chaim.
Is Shemen a Mashkin?
Shemen is a Mashkin, yeah. Shemen is one of the Zayin Mashkin. Shemen Zay is one of the Zayin Mashkin. The Gemara tells us that during the Bais Rishon period, Gemara Zvachim says, they did Nisach HaYayin one way. Then for 70 years of Golus Babel, there was no Beis HaMikdash. So when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew, they had a tradition, they knew the way they did the Nisach HaYayin the first time in the first Beis HaMikdash. The Chachamim in the beginning of the Bais Sheni decided to read the Psukim differently, and they did Nisach HaYayin differently. So the Sfasam says, Akashi, you mean to say that 410 years in the Bais Rishon, they were never yetzin nisach hamayim because they did it nisach hayayin. They were never yetzin in the midst of nisach hayayin because they did it wrong. So he gives a teretz al pi chasidus, al pi kabbal, al pi chasidus, which is unusual. The svasem is on Gemara usually just gives nigla, just gives halacha. It doesn't go into kabbalah, it doesn't go into chasidus. The pasha to teretz is ein l'chol shefet shebiyamecha. During the Bais Rishon period, the psak was like Shlomo HaMelech HaGezokti, do Nisach HaYayin like this. And then in the Bais Sheni period, they decided to reverse it. They darshaned the psukim differently, and they said, you got to do Nisach HaYayin differently.
Well, that's the same question. 400 years, they did it wrong. They weren't Yosef.
Right.
Because they followed Shlomo HaMelech of it.
So the answer is, in the Bais Rishon, the psak was like the Chachamim said then. Bais Sheni, the psak is what the Chachamim said then. That's called Eilu V'Eilu. Divrei Elokim Chai. We assume that a psak of a Talmid Chacham is binding. We assume a psak of a Talmid Chacham is binding, not because he pontificates. Whatever he says, even if he made a mistake, a psak is binding because we assume Soyra Hashem Lireyov. We assume that Rebbeinu Shlom gives a Talmid Chacham a Siyata Dishmaya to paskin properly. So the shaila is, if that's, if we assume that it's correct, but if the Talmid Chacham made a mistake, you're not supposed to listen to the Talmid Chacham. So the shaila is, how are you supposed to understand if one Chacham tells, one rabbi tells his balabatim one way, the other rabbi tells Hillel and Shammai. Each one tells the Talmidim a different version of what the Torah says. So we assume Hillel was given a siyata to the Shmai to paskin his way, that's a correct psak, and Shammai was given a siyata to the Shmai to paskin his way. So the Baruch Shalom is talking out of both sides of his mouth. So the Gemara says, hey, let me hear the Kim Chai. The Gemara had to come up with this because the Gemara was assuming that a psak of a Talmid Chacham is binding because we assume that it's correct. So how can it be correct if they contradict each other? So the Gemara says, "Boleis Pereira, Eilu Eilu, Divrei Kim Chaim." If they're both working based on the Midrash HaTorah Nedrashes Behem, doesn't mean that anything goes. You can say whatever you please, and it's an acceptable shita. No, there are guidelines, there are rules and regulations. If you're following the Midrash HaTorah Nedrashes Behem and you come up with two different conclusions, then we say Eilu Eilu, Divrei Kim Chaim. So in the Bais Rishon period, they paskin one way, and that was the correct psak. The Bais Sheni period did paskin differently, and that was correct psak in that generation. You have a lot of times in Mishnayos, the original psak of the Bezdin was one way, and then in a later generation it says, Bezdin Shalachreim Amru. So the Gemara will refer to that as Mishnah Rishayna and Mishnah Achreina. So during the period of time that the psak was accepted, psak HaMekubal was like the Mishnah Rishayna, the consensus was in one direction. So that was the din in that generation. Then if the consensus changes, it shifts in a later generation, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo make a miracle. He made a miracle during the days of the Chashmonaim, because at that time the Psak HaMekubal was that the Shemin is Mekabel Tumah. And if the story of Hanukkah would have occurred 100 years later, the Beis Yitzchok says, then there would have been no need for a miracle, because Yosef Ben Yehezer, hey, he testified, Mashke Ben Matachaya Dochan, it's Tohar Legamri, there's no Tumah Deraisa. There's only Tumah Derabbanan and the Beis Hamikdash, and whenever goes there, the Tumah Derabbanan. Yeah. We have a minig that's also Zechel Hamikdash. We light Neres Chanukah in the Shul. In Shulchan Aruch it says that no one is Yotzi but the Hadlok in Shul, because Hadlok has to be Bebeisa. The Loshon HaGemara is that the Iker Takana was Ner Isha Beiso. So in the context of the Gemara, Ner Isha Beiso means, Beiso means his family. That each family only has to light one candle, but it doesn't really have the connotation that the hadlaka has to be babayis. But that's a different gemara. The gemara says you have to be madlik a pesach habayis mi bachutz. If you light in Times Square, you're going to get a lot of pesumi nisa, but it's not mitzuruf to your home. So the hadlaka has to be not too far away from your home. A pesach, the further away you light the menorah, so the more pesumi nisa you'll accomplish. But the further away it is, so it's not mitzarif to your home. So the adlock has to be mitzurif to your home. So that's what it says. We follow Tosu Shiti. You can either be madlik babayis, or al pesach habayis, or in the chotzer also al pesach hachotzer. But after past the pesach hachotzer, that's too far away. So Shulchan Aruch says, when you do the adlock of the Beis HaKnesses, nobody is yotze. So why in the world do you do adlock of the Beis HaKnesses? So it says that's a minute. It's not a real din. Doesn't say in the Gemara, it's a minik, yeah. What is the basis of the minik? So you look in the Beis Yosef quotes different opinions from Rishonim. So some Rishonim say it's similar to reciting Kiddush in Shul. The Gemara asks in Arvid Psochim, in the last Perkim Psochim, there's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel whether there's a halacha and Kiddush ala b'makom suda. Is the halacha you have to recite Kiddush Davke in the same place where you're going to eat the meal? So we paskin, yes, ain kiddush ala b'makom suda. So the Gemara says, how can we recite kiddush in shul? And for the Gemara, there were orchim who were going to eat in the shul, are going to eat in the rooms adjacent to the shul. So we say kiddush for them, because for them it is Kiddush b'makom suda. B'moitzei b'yorchim. Then there's a question, what about Bizman Hazeh? We don't have that practice anymore. We don't have any Yorchim in the shul. So that's a question. So the Rambam has a tshuva where the Rambam writes that today it's a carryover. Originally, they recite Kiddush and Shul to be Moitzei the Yorchim, and today, even though they're no Yorchim, it's already eingeführt as a minig, you have to recite Kiddush and Shul even though one is Yotzer. The Rambam compares it to Chazaras HaShatz. The Rambam says the original Takon of Chazaras HaShatz was motivated because they wanted to be Moitzei the Misha Ein HaBoki, the Ein HaBoki. And what about today when if everybody's a Boki in Shul, so what do you do Chazaras HaShatz? So he says that's why they made the Takonah. But once they made the Takonah, so it's binding even if everybody's a Boki. So the Rambam makes that as a mashal. They made a Takonah to recite Kiddush. What motivated them to institute Kiddush in the Shul was that they were Orchim who were going to eat there. But then they made a Takonah, so the Takonah is binding even if you no longer have any Orchim. So the Beisayse quotes some Rishonim and say, what's the background? Why do we have such a meaning that we light the menorah in shul? So some of the Rishonim say, originally the menorah was lit in shul because there were Orchim who used to eat and sleep in the rooms adjacent to the shul. So for them, that was Hadlaka Bebesam, so they were Yotze. So even though now we no longer have such a system, nobody eats or sleeps near the shul, it was instituted as a minig, so today it's only a minig. Originally when they had Orchim, it was a real din. There would be Moitze the Orchim, Yedei Chavasim. Today it's only a minig.
Doesn't the
Beis
Yosef
imply
that you don't make a bracha on
the
minig, like by
Halal Rosh Chodesh? Right. The Beragoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch asks that kasha. That's a very strong kasha. The Sfardim have the practice, they only say a bracha on a mitzvah, their eyes a mitzvah, their rabbonim. If something is only a minig, like Chatzi Halal Rosh Chodesh, so the Sfardim will not recite a bracha. So how come over here, the Shulchan Aruch is written by Rabbi Yosef Kara, Sfardi, how come he writes, it's only a minig, so why do you say a bracha? That's a murderous kasha. They don't really give satisfactory answers. That's a very strong kasha. The Beir HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch poses that question. Other Rishonim give a different explanation. Right. That's a question whether that's minig Sfard or minig Eretz Yisrael. See, the Mechaber writes you don't say Kiddush and Shul. Some Achrayim say because the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, Taisus is bothered with this Gemara. Gemara says in Arvid Pesachim, why do we recite Kiddush and Shul? So Gemara says, to be Motzei the Orchim Yedei Chayvosim. So Taisus says, Kasha, Orchim, are you eating in the Shul? You're allowed to eat a meal in the Shul. Are you talking? Dushas Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to do that. So Taisus has one answer, no, there were rooms adjacent to the Shul on the side. And then Taisus gives another answer, but the Knesset Shebebavo, Al Tanai Heim Asuim. Even Bibinyonim, even when the Beis HaKnesses, some Rishonim hold Batik Nesir Shebebavo, Al Tanai Heim Asuim means Bichurbonim. After the Beis HaKnesses is Chorev, then you don't have to be Noi Kedusha. But Bibinyonim, Kozman, the Beis HaKnesses, is still functioning, it's still standing, then you're not allowed to use it for Diricho. So Taisus has one opinion, no. Batik Nesir Shebebavo, Al Tanai Heim Asuim, even Bibinyonim, you may use it for other purposes. So they used to eat, the Orchim used to eat in the shul. So that's what Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius writes in his commentary. He wrote the Mate Ephraim on Hilchos Parashani Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Mishneh Berurah quotes every other page. He quotes from the Mate Ephraim. He has the final say on Hilchos Parashani Yom Kippur and Sukkot. He wrote the Shari Ephraim and Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that everybody quotes in the Mate Ephraim. Shuvas Beis Ephraim. He wrote a lot of Ephraim. He wrote the Yad Ephraim. So he writes that in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Al Tanai Heim Asuim, but the Kneas Yisrael Bebavel Al Tanai Heim Asuim. But the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses for eating purposes. So he tainas, there never was a minig in Eretz Yisrael to say Kiddush and Shul. Such a practice was only in Bavel because, as Tosfos explained, but the Kneas Yisrael Bebavel Al Tanai Heim Asuim, you're permitted to use it for secular purposes, even Bibinyonim. So that's why the Mechaber writes that you don't say Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, not because the Mechaber was a Sephardi, he claims not because the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody should say Kiddush and Shul, only a Chutz Lords. Because of that opinion at Tosfos, that they say Kiddush and Shul to be Motzi the Orchim, there never were any Orchim meeting in the Shul in Eretz Yisrael. It was only a Chutz Lords. Right. That's what Ephraim Zalman Margolius claims. He says it's not Ashkenaz versus Sephard. So it's the soul versus Chutzlords. That's what he writes in the Ha'oris and his Mate Ephraim. Okay. So these are two explanations that the Bisesi quotes. What is the Inyan all about? Where did the minyan come from to be madlik a menorah and shul if no one's yotze? So the Bisesi quotes one opinion that it's to be motzi v'yorcha midei chavosim like Kiddush. And the other opinion he quotes from other Rishonim, it's zechel amigdosh. The whole hadlok is a menorah is to make a zechel amigdosh. So to be madlik in the Beis HaKnesses is a migdash meyad, they make a zechel a migdash. That's why the Magen Avraham quotes that there were some communities who had a minig to be madlik the menorah in shul, not only at night, to be madlik the menorah in the morning. There's no takana de rabbanon to be madlik the menorah in the daytime, takana de rabbanon is only at night. So he quotes no, but the Rambam's opinion is that every day in the Beis HaMikdash they lit twice. They lit in the morning and they lit in the evening as well. So the hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses is not to be motzi anybody who deichai vosim at all, not to be motzi the orchim. It's rather to make a zechel amigdash. So since according to the Rambam there were two hadlakas every day, they do two hadlakas in the shul also. You don't say a bracha, even if you have a minig to be madlak in the morning. You don't say a bracha, the minig only says a bracha at night. Because most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, that there was no such thing as a hadlaka in the morning. They did a hatovah. Hatovah meant they cleaned out the cups, the seven cups on top, and they put in the oil and they put in the wick, so the wick should soak up the oil, and they prepared it for the hadlaka that's going to take place at night. But there was no hadlaka in the morning. So since it's only the Rambam who claims like that, there was hadlaka in the morning also, so that's why you do the hadlaka in the morning and sure, believe bracha. You don't say a bracha.
If the hadlaka in the morning is just a zecher or
a
migdash, then why
don't
we do it all year long?
And it would make sense to do it all year long, but on Chanukah they made a takana to make a zecher a migdash. So we introduced the minig on Chanukah because they made a takana zecher a migdash. And a chanami, it would make sense to do it all year long.
Rabbi Shimon once told us he felt that the minig to make Kiddush and Shul more. There were two men hugger, one saying Kiddush and Shul, one saying Hallel Pesach night. His father accepted the Hallel part and the Ashkenazim took the Kiddush part. He felt the Kiddush was more important because in Shul they had Yayin. In other words, most of the people then they already have wine to make Kiddush on. At least in Shul they heard Kiddush properly on Yayin.
The Rosh quotes that. The Rosh quotes that from early Rishonim. That why did they have Kiddush in Shul? So he says because a lot of people couldn't afford wine. And some Rishonim hold that Kiddush al Yayin is their Eisen. So they made Kiddush and Shul to be Motzi everybody, not only to be Motzi the Yorchim and the Chavosim, to be Motzi all the people who don't have any wine at home. The Rosh quotes that from earlier Rishonim.
Right.
That's a Shaila. When they say Kiddush and Shul, are you supposed to have in mind yes to be Yotze, or Dafka have in mind not to be Yotze?
How do you be Yotze to your wife when you come home?
Right. So the Rosh quotes the Rishonim. Everybody should have in mind yes to be Yotze, but Kiddush and Shul the Takana was it should be Yotze Kiddush al Yayin and Shul. Then we should say Kiddush again at home to have Kiddush b'makom sudim. And others disagree and they say no. Everyone's supposed to have in mind not to be Yotze and Shul. You want to be Yotze Kiddush according to the Takanas Chachamim to say Kiddush b'makom sudim. You're going to say Kiddush and Shul. You be Yotze the Deraisa, but you won't be Yotze the Derabbanan. The Rabbanan want you to fulfill Kiddush the way they wanted to. Should be Kiddush Mamakam Sudim. So the hadlaka in the shul, these are two explanations that the Beis Yosef quotes from different Rishonim. Some Rishonim say hadlaka be Beis HaKnesses is Zechel HaMikdash, because the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Meyat. And other Rishonim say no, that it was Lehotzi Yorchem Midoi Chayvosim. Rav Soloveitchik he found it cute. The Vilna Goyen has a new comment. Vilna Goyen says, where did this minig come from? The Madlik of the Menorah in Shul. So he gives a mucker from Hallel Beleil Pesach in the Beis HaKnesses. The Masech HaSofrim says he's supposed to say Hallel in Beis HaKnesses. What is that all about? Hallel. Hallel is supposed to be half a hal before the meal on Pesach night in the middle of the Haggadah. You have Arba Koses. So the first half of Hallel you say over the second kos, and the third kos you say the second half of Hallel. What are you saying Hallel in Shul? Hallel is supposed to be part of the Haggadah with the Arba Koses. Halal ala yayin, like a bracha ala kos. So the Vilna Goyen understands that since the purpose of the halal Pesach night is persumi niso, because the nes of makas b'cheres and para freed b'nei Yisrael on the occasion of the makas b'cheres, so the purpose of the halal Pesach night is persumi niso, and you'll accomplish greater persumi niso if you recite the halal b'tzibur. So that's why The minig developed, though, there was a takana, however you'll understand it, maybe it's a minig, maybe a takana, to recite halal and shul as well. Because the nature of the halal Pesach night is for the purpose of pisumin nisa. So that's why it's better to say it in shul in addition. The real takana you'll only be yotze at home when you say the first half over the second cup of wine and the second half of the halal over the third cup of wine. But whenever there's a mitzvah pisumin nisa, so we should try to do it bitzibah. So that's why the Vilna Gaon writes, that's where it came from, the Hadlakas HaMenorah in Shul. Because the Hadlakas HaMenorah is for the purpose of Pirsumin Nisa. And if you do Pirsumin Nisa Bitzibur, it'll be a greater Pirsumin Nisa. So that's why it should be Madlik in the Shul. That's the Mokker, Pirsumin Nisa. That's where Rav Soloveitchik added on in the name of his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, that the Pirsumin Nisa is only if you have a Tzibur. What's Heistat Tzibur? So his Lashon was, you have 10 Jews reading the Morgun Shanal. That's called a tzibur. No, a tzibur is if they're a nitztar for yachad, we need a minion for adav shebikdush, you need a minion. So he said, if they just daven mincha before the shkia, the snagdim don't daven mincha after the shkia. So if the 10 people just daven mincha before the shkia, and they said chazaras hashatz, and they said kiddush, and they said kadosh tiskabel, so they were nitztar for yachad, and they plan to daven ma'ariv soon right afterwards, so they have a tziruf for the davar shebikdusha, and they're still om de mitzeirufam because they plant the daven right away. See, in the yeshiva we daven mincha, and at Beis Hamikdash we daven mincha at 2:30, then we daven mincha at 6:30. So when it comes time for shkia, no one, we didn't just daven mincha, we're not going to daven ma'ariv. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you don't say a bracha. The only time you say a bracha in shul, the minute to say a bracha in shul is in between mincha and ma'ariv, when the ma'ariv is going to follow right afterwards. So then when it's tar for yachad, for the davar shebikdusha, for the kedusha, for the kaddish, this Kabbalah after Mincha, and they plan to say Baruch Hu right away to Dav Marav afterwards. So then you madlik the Beis Haknesses, it's a halakha b'tzibur. He said the name of his father. A lot of times you come to shul on Friday afternoon, and the minion isn't there yet. Until the minion is going to come, it's going to be late. So they're going to finish Shalein, and they're going to finish Mincha after the Shkia. So they tell a chazan to be madlik the menorah before they daven Mincha. So he said, you can't say a bracha then. If you're going to be madlik before Mincha, the minik to say a bracha, if you're madlik between mincha and ma'ariv, is only if mincha is right before the shkia, ma'ariv is right after. Usually at home, we're madlik, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, Shulchan Aruch quotes, you're madlik the menorah after tzeis ha-kochavim. So how come in shul, you're madlik in between mincha and ma'ariv? You don't wait till after tzeis ha-kochavim. So he said, that's why, because if you're going to wait till after tzeis ha-kochavim, we will have already finished davening ma'ariv. So after you finish davening ma'ariv, the minion disappears. There's no more minion. So there's not, the whole minig only is to be madlik hadlokas hamenorah b'tzibur to accomplish, according to the Vilna Gaon, to accomplish a greater pesumei nisa. He said on Matzoi Shabbos we don't light the menorah in between mincha and ma'ariv. So this is contradicts the whole shtikl Torah. So he said no. He said where he came from in Europe, the minig was that they would light the menorah before kaddish tiskabel. Our minig is not so. Our meaning is that we light the menorah after Kaddish Tiskabel. Oh, so he said, but it's our kalpanim, it's before Havdalah. So he said, reciting Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos and Shul is also, there's Tosefis Shabbos of the Yochid, and there's Tosefis Shabbos of the Tzibur. Shulchan Aruch says, if the Tzibur is Mekabel Shabbos early, so it's binding on all of B'nai HaKehila. So no one is, you're not allowed to daven Mincha in Shul, Erev Shabbos, if someone came late. He's not allowed to daven mincha if the tzibur already said Kabbalah Shabbos, because Kabbalah's Tosefes Shabbos on the part of the tzibur is chal on all of the yechidim. So he said, just like there's a Kabbalah Shabbos Tosefes Shabbos lefaneo al yidei hatzibur, so there's a Tosefes Shabbos lachareha as well. So he said, you have to wait till after Havdalah Matzoi Shabbos. That's the end of the Tosefes Shabbos of the tzibur. So they would usually then when they start for yachad for mincha and they're going to daven ma'ariv right away, so you have a tzibur. They still have maintained the status of a tzibur, so the halakha is done by the tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses. I mean, so Shabbos, you can't light them between Mincha and Ma'ariv. You didn't say Atochan HaTorah yet. So true, you're going to be madlik after Ma'ariv. So he said, some places in Europe, the minig was that they lit before Kaddish Tiskabel. Kaddish Tiskabel is the official conclusion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur on Matzoi Shabbos. And even if the meaning in other places says you light the menorah and shul after Kaddish Tiskabel, but it should be before Havdalah. It shouldn't be after Havdalah.
During the week, we don't daven Ma'ariv right after Mincha. It's a break. You really shouldn't. So
he thought that what do you mean? You learn in between.
Yeah, you learn.
And you have a pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a question.
In the time that you learn, that's what the Mekah HaLakas Nevos
does. That still keeps the Tzibur.
There's no Shira.
Because you shouldn't have a Ma'at right after the Mekah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a question. If you're going to sit and learn another 20 minutes, that's a question whether it makes sense that Tzibur already disappeared. No more Tzibur. You don't need a minion to learn. Yeah. In Washington Heights, in Breuers, they don't say Halal on Pesach night. The Yekkers don't say Halal on Pesach night. Okay. A lot of places they don't. Right. So in Washington Heights, it's one minion where they have a pshara. It was founded by Mr. Mendelovich, apparently, who used to live in Washington Heights. So there they daven Ma'ariv on the first two nights of Pesach, and after they finish saying Aleinu, so whoever wants to walk out goes home, whoever stays behind says Hallel with a bracha. So that's the question. Where Rav Soloveitchik explained this Hagos Agro, the Bir Agro, there's no more Tzibur. Tzibur just disappeared. Halal on Pesach night is only if you have a Tzibush and it's tar for Yachad. They said Baruch, and then they said Chatzei Kaddish before Ma'ariv. Then they're going to say Kaddish Tiskabel afterwards, in between. They when it's tar for Yachad, we didn't say Kaddish Tiskabel yet. So then you say Halal with a bracha. But if you already said Kaddish Tiskabel and the whole davening is over and whoever wants to leave, leaves. So then he's saying Halal on Pesach night. It's like Bichidus. Bichidus, there's no meaning to say Halal on Pesach night. If a person doesn't feel well and doesn't go to shul, he doesn't say Halal on Pesach night. The meaning to recite Halal on Pesach night is only B'tzibur. So B'tzibur means that when it's tar for Yachad for a tzibur, and they still have a tziruf of a tzibur.
You know,
so
did they make
Havdalah
in
Shul?
You know, it's Cyril.
They
don't make
Kiddush.
What about Havdalah?
I'm not familiar. I don't know. Kiddush you need, but Makam Surah, Havdalah can be Yotze in Shul. So I thought they do. I don't know. Rosh Shul?
They don't make Havdalah.
They don't say Havdalah in Eretz Yisrael, really? Okay.
How about they do?
Yeah, you mentioned there's an issue of as to how long the Bai Sheni listed. We say that this year is Tav Shin Ayin Hei. That's on the assumption that the Bai Sheni only lasted 420 years. If the Bai Sheni lasted for another 165 years more than that, so this year is not the Tav Shin Ayin Hei. It's another 165 years later. So the Shaila is when you write a get and you write the Zman, so the whole get should be puzzled. It has the wrong Zman. It has a Zman from 165 years ago. That Zman was it's a Shtar Mugdom. So the answer is that when we write Gittin, so we write Shnas Tavshin Ayin Hei Lemin Yishonim Onim Kam, the year New York. We write according to the way we calculate. What do you have to add that on? Min Yishonim Onim Kam. So the answer is, that's what my father always used to say, the answer is they knew that there's an issue. They knew that there's a question whether Tavshin Ayin Hei is the correct date. So they write the Min Shana Man Kan, the way we make the calculation. Everybody knows our calculation. We call this year Tav Shin Ayin Hei. It may be that it's off 165 years, but to get this kasha because you write the Min Shana Man Kan. So that's our Min. So it's the correct.
The story about Rabbi Gold, the grandson of the famous Gold, his ksuba by mistake, they copied over a very old ksuba and they used that date 100 years before. The Kater recorded, and they had to go to redo the ksuba.
Uh huh. Sure. We have a din in the Mishnayos that on Sukkot one is not permitted to eat before he benches Esrog. So they quoted with respect to Tkiyah Shofar as well, that you're not permitted to eat before you do a mitzvah, Shezban or Averis. You may eat your whole meal and then forget about it. You may get so involved in eating, you're going to forget about performing the mitzvah. Some Achrayim say, let's say, the father's going to make a bris on his son, but the bris is scheduled for 10 o'clock in the morning. So some say, because the moel has to go to another bris, another three bris and before. Mine is the fourth bris. So some say, since it's the father's obligation to to see to it that he does a bris on the sunset, the father shouldn't eat until after he takes care of the bris. The meaning is today, it's a questionable meaning that we do pidyon haben late in the afternoon. So some achrayim say the father shouldn't eat the whole day until he does the pidyon haben. The Pesach Shuvah quotes like that. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you're supposed to do today and you want to not forget to do the mitzvah, you really shouldn't eat. That's what some achrayim say. Why is there a meaning that the chassan fasts on the day that he gets married? Because he's going to do a mitzvah. So you don't want him to forget to show up to the wedding, so you tell him that he should fast to make sure that he's going to attend the wedding. He'll remember. Remember, has to do the mitzvah. Right, so there are different reasons why the chassan fasts. So one of the reasons is that he's about to do a mitzvah and you don't want him to eat before he does the mitzvah. So this din, kala also, is also doing a mitzvah. The Gemara talks about mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucha, but the kala as well, some kind of a mitzvah on the part of the kala as well. So before you madlik neres chanukah also, the din in Shulchan Aruch is that you're not supposed to eat. But we usually assume that te'ima is mutter, just to have a little snack. Let's say before tkiyah shayfer. So in a lot of the yeshivas, they're going to daven so slowly, they're not going to finish musaf till doomsday, till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so they're going to be starving. So, this, so he permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah to
that.
Right, Rav Henkin was older than all the other Rabbonim, so he always used to give musa to the Rosh Yeshiva, make sure they don't make Kiddush before Tkiyas, and it's better to make Kiddush in the middle of the Tkiyas, in between the Tkiyas and the Miyumud, and davening musa. But his opinion has not been accepted.
His grandson tries it, doesn't accept it either.
Right, right. So the practice in all the Yeshivas is that they do permit a Kiddush before Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? So the poskim all say that only to eat a meal is awesome. Eat a meal, so you're going to forget about doing the mitzvah. But if he's still going to be hungry, just have a little snack, you assume that te'ima is mutter before you do a mitzvah. Before ma'ariv, that's a machloikus in achrayim. Maybe before ma'ariv is a new din. Before you daven ma'ariv, maybe not allowed to have te'ima either. And others say, no, te'ima before ma'ariv is mutter, like te'ima before lulav and te'ima before shofar is mutter. So before you madlik neres chanukah also, you shouldn't really eat the whole meal. Te'ima to have a little snack is mutter. But to have a whole meal, even if you're not going to wash for bread, to have a whole meal, that's not permissible.
What about on a Friday night after shul? Are you allowed to, or you're not allowed to even have a little water or anything before Kiddush?
Right, before Kiddush, you're not allowed to have anything, right? Even water, that says in the Shulchan Aruch.
So why is that an exception to water?
Yeah, that's a separate din. That the Kiddush is supposed to separate between Achilus and Mitzvah. And achilu shal b'shus. So what we eat all week long, that's achilu shal b'shus. When you eat on Shabbos, even drinking water on Shabbos, that's called Shabbos koivas. Whatever you eat or drink on Shabbos is called achilas keva, because karasa the Shabbos oinek. So you want to have the kiddush to separate, to delineate the different, to make a differentiation between achilu shal b'shus and achilu shal mitzvah, right? Before Havdalah, you are permitted to drink water. You're not allowed to have te'ima either, but water would be mutter, because water, abimos achol, doesn't have any chashivas. But you're not allowed to have other drinks before Havdalah.
What's the correct time to light Hanukkah candles?
The Lashon HaGemara is very unclear. So in Shulchan Aruch, there are three different opinions. So one opinion is the Vilna Gaon says right after Shkia, Mishet Tishoka Hachama. The Gemara says Mishet. More quotes from Masechet Sofrim. Mishet Tishoka Hachama means after Shkia. Then on the side of the Gemara, they tell you to look in the Tosfos and Zvachim. Mishet Tishoka Hachama means Sof Shkia. The Rebbe Natam came up with this idea that it's something like 72 minutes between sunset and Seisa Kochavim, and the last 15-18 minutes of that 72 minutes is Bein Hashmashes. So Shkia, what we call Shkia sunset, is Tchila Shkia. And 50 minutes later, 55 minutes later, is Sof Shkia. And then you have Tzeisa Kerchavim is 15-18 minutes later. So according to Rabbi Natam, Mishet Yishok HaChama means the correct Zman for Hadlaka Samanoira is the Sof Shkia. Means 15-18 minutes before Tzeisa Kerchavim. And then the third opinion is no, that you should light the Neres Chanukah after Tzeisa Kerchavim. On Erev Shabbos, you have no brera, so you can't light after the Shkia. we assume, according to the Balatanya and according to the Vilna Goyen, according to many Goyenim, that Ben Hashmashes begins right away at Shkiyah. Not like the Rabbeinu Tam that for 50 minutes is Vada Yom, and then for the next 18 minutes or so, 15, 18 minutes, that's Ben Hashmashes. So we are Rosh Hashanah for the Vilna Goyen and the Balatanya, that the Ben Hashmashes begins right away at Shkiyah. So on Friday, you can't light after Shkiyah, you can't light Sof Shkiyah, you can't light the Tzeisach Chav. So you have no choice. You have to light after Plag HaMincha. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a machlokes, all week long, are you permitted to light after Plag HaMincha? Let's say someone's going somewhere, someone has a date, or someone's going to a wedding or something, he's traveling. Can you be yotze if you light Hadlokah Bayom after Plag HaMincha, and you put in so much oil, or such long candles, such tall candles, that they're going to burn for half an hour after Tzeisach Kochavim? So that's a machlokes. If it's a big Shas HaTchak we make, that even all week long you can light after Plag HaMincha, even though it's still Yom. Yeah, the best time to light really is around 10 minutes after the Shkia, so you satisfy the both opinions. Even the Rabbeinu Tam agrees that he thinks...
Why are there so many fires? Kind of
that's for sure. You have to be careful not to have a Sreifa. Yeah. Yes, yes. There are those scholars who think that the story of Chanukah never happened, and yet they'll light an Eres Chanukah, and they'll say Shosh Nisim every night of Chanukah. So the reason why you say Shosh Nisim every night, because every day there was another Nes. No, the Tarkonos Chachamim, so you got to light an Eres and you got to say Shosh Nisim. They tell about Gratz, who wrote the history book, that in his history book he claims that the story of Purim never happened. But he studied by Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch's Rial Shula, his Talmud Torah, in Frankfurt. And he used to come on Purim night to listen to the Mikra Megillah. He was Makbid. He stood near the Balkari to hear every word. So they say that Rabbi Hirsch approached him and he said, but you say, you write in your book, the whole story of Purim never happened. So what are you so Makbid to listen to the Mikra Megillah for? So he said, no, it's the Takanas Chacham, so you have to follow Takanas Chacham. That's not correct. If the Chachamim made a takana based on a mistake, then a takana is a mistake. A takana, an error, is not binding. Our religion is a Torah Semes. Rav Chaim Volozhiner signs off a lot of his tshuvas, Kel Emes, Nosan Lano, Torah Semes, Abilti El Emes, Einenu. Our religion is supposed to be based on Emes, not based on Bava Maisis. People are still talking about this essay that some person considers himself Orthodox. Someone published an essay in Commentary magazine a few months ago where he writes a new thing. He legs tefillin every day and he davens every day and he davens on Shabbos and Shul and he eats in the sukkah. He follows his strictly Orthodox, but he doesn't believe in Torah Minas Shemayim.
Right.
So what kind of a religion is it? Social Orthodoxy. He wants to belong to this society. He wants to identify with the Jewish people. I would want to run away from the Jewish people. The Jewish people made up such a Baba Maisa that there was a term in Hashemayim and people gave up their lives during the Crusades. People were Maisa Nefesh for ridiculous Baba Maisa that they made up a whole story. I would want to run away from such people. I don't know this person's children. I don't know who the person is. I don't know what's he going to transmit to his children. That's ridiculous. A person doesn't believe in term in Hashemayim. So the mitzvahs that he does are worthless. It's like Kavanah Shelo Lotzes. You have in mind, if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Torah Shemayim, so the religion is meaningless. Remember when I was a little boy, so they used to ask the bright children a riddle that the archaeologists were digging in Egypt near the Nile River, and they discovered the bones of 7 cows. So we asked the young children, do you think it's the bones from the fat cows or the skinny cows? So the kids who were sharp would say, it has to be the bones from the skinny cows, because the skinny cows swallowed up the fat cows. So the correct answer was, the whole thing was a dream. There are no bones at all. It's not from the fat cows, not from the skinny cows. So there are certain things that we know never happened. The bones from the cows never happened. That was a dream. There are other things that we know did happen. Avraham Avinu existed. Yankov Avinu, Yitzchak, Yankov, Moshe Rabbeinu, Matan Torah. All these things really existed. We have evidence. We have historical testimony. There are millions of Jews who witnessed all of these stories. Our religion is based on historical evidence. We had millions of Jews I knew my four grandparents. They knew their parents and their grandparents all the way going back. And our religion is based on Abiseinu lo shikra lanu. Our ancestors didn't tell us above a maisa. And it's not right that people tell their children that kosa shel Eliyahu, and then they send one of the children to the front door to open up the door to say shvach hamas chalagoyim, and then someone pours out some of the wine. See, Eliyahu Novi came and he drank part of the wine. It's like the Baba Maisa that the Christians tell their children about Santa Claus. Santa Claus came down the chimney and he left the gifts for you. So the Jewish people also tell their children Baba Maisa. That's terrible. You want to make a joke, you have to tell them right away it's a joke. But you're not allowed to mislead the children to tell them shkorim. Our religion is based on emes. If a person is convinced that the story of Chanukah never happened, he's saying a bracha levatol. When he lights a neiros Chanukah, let him not say the bracha. Let him be consistent. If Gratz was convinced that the story of Purim never happened, let him not listen to the Mikra Megillah. If it's a mistake, so it's not binding. The psak is not binding when it's an error. Herman Wook wrote a book, the Cain Mutiny. So he taught in Yeshiva College 1 year. So he told Professor Fleischer, who told us over, I wasn't there when Herman Wook taught, he said that the theme of his book, the Cain Mutiny, is based on Rashi's comment on Chumash, that Athari is binding even when it's an error. Where's the Rashi and Chumash? That the Pasuk says, when you have a machlekes among the Rabbanim, Divrei Rivas B'Sharecha, the Kamtum, at least they go to the Beis Nagod, whatever they paskin is binding, L'sasim e'karal dava, she'gid l'cha yom in a small. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim and the Sifrei, afilo ha'yamin shu small, al small shu yamin. So Herman Wook thought that that's what it means, that authority is binding, the psak of the Rabbanim is binding, even when it's an error. So the Ramban writes in the Sefer Mitzvahs that it cannot be. That's impossible. The first Mishnah in Hurri says, Beferish, if the Beis Nagodol unanimously, all 71 members of the Beis Nagodol give up Pesach, and someone, a Talmud, knows that they're making a mistake, it's Beferish not correct. Mishnah says he's not permitted to follow the Pesach of the Beis Nagodol. He's not allowed to follow a Pesach if it's an error. Remember, I used to daven in the Aguda. For a while, there was politics going on in the Yeshiva, so I didn't want to daven the Yeshiva on Shabbos. And then when the politics disappeared, so I went back to Yeshiva. So remember, I used to daven in the Aguda, so he used to be a very heavy yekke. He was from Hamburg. All the others were from Frankfurt, so they didn't get along with him. I don't know exactly what's the big difference in Hamburg and Frankfurt. So remember once, the practice was that whoever was the Rosh Yeshiva in Breuer's Beis Medrash was officially the rabbi of the Aguda minyan. So originally used to be Rabbi Friedler was the Rosh Yeshiva, so he was the Rav in the Aguda Minyan. Then after Rabbi Friedler left England, so Rabbi Perlo was invited to come back. He went to Skokie, he used to teach in Breuer's, he went to Skokie, he came back, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, so he was officially the rabbi in the Aguda. So he didn't have a good voice, so he never davened for an honor, but Ein Gefirt was, they had a practice that Rosh Chodesh benched the rabbi does. So Rabbi Perlo was benching Rosh Chodesh, so he said Rosh Chodesh will be on Wednesday. He made a mistake. Everybody screamed out, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Thursday. He said, no, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Thursday. So this heavy yekis standing next to me says in heavy German, if this would have been in a big shul by Rabbi Breuer, it was still, Rosh Chodesh would have been on Wednesday. This rabbi is a pushover. Okay, it doesn't mean anything. A psak. What do you mean? There is no such thing. You can't make Rosh Chodesh on Wednesday. It's supposed to be on Thursday. What are they talking about? There are certain balabatim have such an attitude. If a rabbi gives a heksher on a product, I know the rabbi is not reliable. He gave a heksher, I can eat the product. He's a faker, he'll burn in Gehenna. He'll have to give a mishpat. But I have a right to follow a psak, even if I know the psak is an error. So Netan Zazach, a psak is binding because we assume that it's not an error. So Hashem Lirev, the reason why a psak is binding, because we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a siyat to the Shmaya, to the Talmid Chacham, to paskin properly. And that's why the Gemara had come up with the idea, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. How can it be that he says us and he says muta, and they both have Soed Hashem Lirev? The answer is, yeah, they're both right. Each one has a different perspective, and they're both basing their shitas on Midrash HaTorah and Edveshes Mem. So our Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah is all based on the assumption that the story really did happen. If someone is so convinced that it didn't happen, he shouldn't say a bracha. It's a bracha levatola. The truth of the matter is that these people who say the bracha San Chanukah, they know that story of Chanukah happened. They just have a proper shtick. They have to show how arrogant they are. So they say, they know better than the Gemara. The story never happened. But they know in their heart that it did happen. Otherwise, what are they saying a bracha for? So they shouldn't be so arrogant. They shouldn't be such Balei Gaiva. Yeah, she's kind of... Yeah. Yeah.
What is a mito? Says it. Also, the Anshin says you can't two guys, one is guilty, one is innocent. You find that the one that's innocent is guilty. Can I have my day?